discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
Well, as far as medical crises go, a raccoon bite on the arm doesn't seem all that serious at first. But it soon became a life or death medical crisis for Melissa Loomis. Dr. A.J. Seth, a local orthopedic surgeon, performed his first ever amputation procedure. In the months that followed, divine intervention combined with Melissa's determination and Dr. Seth's disciplined commitment would bring about the opportunity for a medical breakthrough, potentially transforming the lives of amputees around the world. In the incredible new book, Rewired, Dr. Seth takes us inside the miraculous story of the surgery that allows Melissa to not just move a prosthetic arm simply by thinking, but to actually feel with her prosthetic hand, just as she would her natural arm. What an honor to welcome this good man on the road today. A great day to you, doctor. How does it go today?
We were talking, you know, this polar vortex, so it kind of keeps us inside, which is nice. Spend time with the family, even though the kids have no school, so we'll pretty much have their friends over and hide away from us. So, it's good. Good day. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate getting time to talk to you about it and kind of spread the word of the book.
Oh, my word. It's an absolute treat. I mean, as I said to you before we started pushing the record button, there are no words to describe this story, but we've got to start somewhere. So let's start it here. This epic story begins with a purposeful youngster. And as a preteen, when many of us were playing with Legos or out in the dirt of the sand somewhere, you already had a pretty good handle on what you wanted to do in the future, right? You've known you wanted to be a doctor since you were in the high single digits age-wise, right?
It's it's kind of crazy. I remember when I was in fifth grade telling my teacher, hey, I want to be a doctor one day. And kind of a neat story on that is when I graduated from medical school, he actually came to the graduation.
What?
And in his classroom, he has actually my diploma up there. But, you know, just something growing up, I was like, hey, I want to be, you know, a doctor. And we were, fortunate. I had a lot of mentors around me who were in the medical field. And little by little, kind of the science area, you know, grabbed my attention. And
I read something that really pretty movingly describes the kind of care and investment that you have for and in your patients. You really enjoy drawing, I understand. And when you operate on a young patient, you really enjoy you putting together this drawing while they're in recovery, and then you give them this drawing when they wake up. Do I have that right?
That is impressive. That, I will tell you, I have done a numerous amount of interviews. I have never had someone know so much and did so much research to know that. That's actually true. When I, about 2-3 years ago, I just started taking up drawing. And interestingly, after I did this surgery, you know, I said one day, like, hey, if I can do this, you know, there's so many different things I should try to see if I could do. So I just took up drawing. And I love drawing for kids, Disney characters. And so when I'm in the hospital, if I see a little kid, I'll just whip out a piece of paper and draw him something from Disney and, you know, give it to him. And then whenever I do a cast on one of my patients, I'll draw on there. Or when they wake up from surgery, I will do that. So, yeah, it's just one of my little things. It's amazing to see the kids' faces when you draw a Disney thing. I mean, we're all kids at heart.
Yes.
And there's very few people when you draw a Disney character that it doesn't bring a smile to their face.
That was such a neat anecdote. Thanks so much for sharing that. I think the one final key maybe to understanding this as we set it up before we step into this journey is your faith in God, because it keeps coming up throughout this story.
Right.
Where did that come from, and how has doing what you do interacted with what you believe about God?
Growing up, it was one of those things that was kind of instilled in me about how great God is. And it's, I always say that there is no, in my opinion, there's really not an atheist when you are being wheeled into the operating room and you're looking at the ceiling.
Wow.
You know, everybody at that point is like, God, just let me wake up. you know, because you're basically giving yourself up and going to sleep, but in a different way. And everybody just prays to wake up and get to recovery and have a, you know, a good overall outcome. But growing up, my mom really instilled to always trust God. You know, that was her favorite line. You know, you just do what you can do your best. And I think everybody has a course in life that God puts you on. Mm. And so a lot of times, you know, especially in this story, I was struggling. I mean, I just, for some reason, you know, I always want to know what is the cause of what the problem is. And I tell patients that. And I see a lot of patients who come in and people want to say, oh, it's a sprain or something. I always try to get down to the underlying problem because it, to me, that's what being a doctor is. And in this case, as you read in the book, there's so many things that happened that I have no answer for. But I knew the whole way that I just had to leave it to God and he would guide me through it. And if you would have asked me 4 years ago, I never thought I would be in this position of even doing an interview. I mean, I still am. I'm just a regular guy who operates. But for some reason, which I'll never know, but it was almost like Melissa, my patient, I were chosen to kind of execute this and show everybody kind of different things that can happen in life.
Well, it's the voice of Dr. A.J. Seth. He authors the new book, Rewired, An Unlikely Doctor, A Brave Amputee, and the Medical Miracle That Made History. It's unbelievable. It was such a treat to read this book. And the best part about the unbelievable is it actually happened. It's real. And so,
I'll tell you, you know, there's a couple things now. You know, I've been doing interviews and the book took me 3 years to write. And I never thought I would write a book. I mean, I'm not an author. And, you know, somebody had heard part of the story and said, listen, I'm not religious, but you have to write that in a book to share it with everybody. And the publisher that we have is HarperCollins, Thomas Nelson. And they're the ones who had published Heaven is for Real. Well, I got connected with them, and it's kind of an interesting thing. When you look at my book now, as I tell people, is if you want to read a book similar, where when you're done reading it, it's like God performed a miracle in a small town. I mean, I haven't had one person read the book and say those are coincidences. Everybody who's read the book is like, hey, these are things we can't explain how it happened, and you can only give credit to one person, and that's God. And I really wrote the book because I want everybody to realize that as a physician, there are things I cannot answer. You know, I'm human. I can tell you what I know. I can tell you what I think. But there's a lot of stuff in medicine where I can't answer can't give you the answer. And sometimes people in medicine are fearful of giving credit where it should be given, and that's God.
Well, take us to the beginning of this journey, where this all starts. This is a fight between your patient Melissa's dogs and a rogue raccoon then in her yard. And she steps in, and she's bitten by the raccoon. And then take us into the situation where you first meet Melissa, what she was dealing with, and how really something that you first thought would be routine turned out to be nothing of the kind.
She was tried, you know, after she was bit, she went on a rabies protocol and some antibiotics, and she wasn't getting better. And they realized at the time it wasn't rabies, and it was some kind of bacterial infection. So she got admitted to the hospital and was going to be placed on IV antibiotics, and they called me to come see her. And so I'm an orthopedic hand, elbow, shoulder surgeon. That's what I do. And I remember seeing her, and I was pretty nonchalant in my attitude of, you know, hey, you've got an infection. If you're not better with the antibiotics, I'm going to take you to surgery. I open it up, and it's kind of like there's bacteria having a party in the arm. I'm just going to open up the door and let everybody, you know, I'm going to kick them out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have done that. I mean, I can't tell you how many times, hundreds of times. So I remember her family, you know, they were very concerned. And one of their big things was about taking her to a bigger hospital in a bigger city. And I'll be honest, normally, I mean, you want to honor what the patient's family wants, but it was almost like something in my head is like, don't let that happen. Like, this is your patient. For some reason, I'm like telling them, you need to stay with me. And the question everybody often asks is like, are you the best? And I'm like, there's no way any of us can answer that. I was like, but I could tell you, I'll give you the best care anyone could possibly give you around here. In regards to being there both emotionally and helping you physically. And that's what made the family stay. Well, fast forward 24 hours, I take her to the operating room for a 10-minute procedure, which turned into a 90-minute procedure. It was the worst infection, you know, I've ever seen in an arm. And it was from the elbow to the fingertips on both sides, absolutely covered with pus or bacteria. I've never been in a surgery for 90 minutes for an infection. And at that point, you know, the day before, actually, they asked, can she lose her arm? And I was like, there's absolutely no way she's going to lose her arm. I was like, I promise you. You guys can relax. I promise there's no way she's going to lose her arm. Well, that 90-minute surgery, I was like, well, what did I say? Because I'm up against something that I have not been up against. So unfortunately, you know, she kept running a fever, and I would take her back every day to wash it out. And unfortunately, as you see in the book, she became very ill and septic. And as she says, you know, in the book, she actually felt like this was it. I am going to die. And she said, for 2 days, I laid there thinking, this is what it feels like to die. Wow. And at that point, I didn't have an option. You know, they said, if you don't amputate her arm, her organs are going to shut down that day and she will die. And so I remember telling her, I said, you know, Melissa, I remember walking in there this day. It's a very emotional thing because you didn't honor your promise and you're going to take somebody's arm and the rest of their life, you know, it's completely changed. And I remember telling her that I was like, you know, Melissa, I'm sorry. I couldn't save your arm. And to this day, I remember she was in and out of consciousness. She's like, and I remember her whispering, she's like, you know, you tried your best. She's like, now please save my life. And I remember promising, I'm like, I promise you, you won't die. So I did the amputation and, it went well. And the next day, miraculously, boom, she was better. 100%, you know, much, much better. Got her out of the ICU.
It's interesting. You know, you make it pretty clear in the book that these promises that you find yourself making to Melissa really become central hinges in this story. And obviously, we can hear it in your voice. It broke your heart to not be able to keep that first promise to keep her arm. But then very soon after the successful amputation, you find yourself making another promise, right?
And then a couple of days later, I went in and her husband and her were actually on a social media site and said, hey, this is what we want as a prosthetic arm. Well, I hadn't even thought about that. You know, I'm trying to get her out of the hospital because she keeps running a fever. Well, I remember looking at it, and it was this futuristic arm. And I remember telling him, I said, Melissa, I was like, I promise you I'll make you the most advanced amputee the world's ever had. And I'm like, and if I was like, what? And I walk out, and I'm like, why do I do stuff like that? I'll be honest, I didn't even know the first thing about prosthetics. I remember going to the top medical site called Google and typing in new prosthetics, and a picture comes up, and it's this guy from the Civil War with a claw. And I'm like, this is fantastic. You just promised her to be the most advanced amputee, and you don't know a thing about it. But part of the book, you know, and what's interesting, you've read it. It's not a medical book. It's not a medical, you know, people were worried, oh, he wrote a book, it's all medical. It's not. It's our journey. And it's one of those things where from here you follow our trail of how do I get her to be where she's at to move and feel a prosthetic arm. And there's probably 10 things that happened. And if one of them didn't happen, you and I wouldn't be talking. It would never have occurred. It's one after the other where sooner or later you can't say it's a coincidence. And I honestly felt like we were just on train tracks. You know, God is just taking us, and every time we would come to like a mountain that was had no tunnel, boom, got out of our way, and we kept on going. you know, like I said, I'm just a regular surgeon. I really didn't do anything that other surgeons couldn't do. I mean, there's thousands of people who could do what I did. I was just given the opportunity for some reason. But I don't picture myself as anything special.
Well,
it's just a regular, you know, I just tell people it's not rocks. I put some nerves together and did a surgery and it worked out. But,
at the risk of disagreeing with a very smart man, I think I would contest that assessment just a little bit.
Here's how I always explain. I do talks a lot, and it's a thing that I think I've realized, and I just happen to be the captain of this ship. And because of it, you know, I get the notoriety. But I wanted to write the book to say, hey, there were 50 people on the day I did the surgery for Melissa. And that was the 16-hour surgery I did to get her to feel and move a prosthetic hand. So I was the first in the U.S. to do this, second in the world. But I had 50 people, honestly, that day that if they didn't do their job, we would never be talking about this. And that's from the people who make $12 an hour in the sterilization process or $14 an hour. If they didn't decide to do their job, I can't do my job. And that's what I think life and God wanted us to understand. Because I'm not successful because I'm a doctor. And we all have success in what we do. I could be told that you're the most successful surgeon because you did this. But at 2:30 in the morning, if my pipe bursts, I don't care how successful a surgeon I am, you might as well pull out the raft because I'm going to be swimming. I'll be paddling down my hallway. And I think that we all have our area of expertise. So I don't like to look at myself as any different than anybody else. And it's often hard for people to understand that. But I just like to be a regular person and not, you know, I just who I am. Mm-hmm. But to be successful in life, I think you have to know and give credit to others because you can't be successful without the help of others. Yeah, you know, in any sport, there's, you know, without help in basketball, in football, without help from each other, you can't be successful. And no matter what you do, I tell kids, you're all not going to be surgeons. It's just not how the world works. But whatever you do, you know, do your best and try to make a difference in the world. And you can only do that if you believe in yourself that with God, you could accomplish anything you want.
Yeah. Amen. Dr. A.J. Seth, the author of Rewired, An Unlikely Doctor, A Brave Amputee, and The Medical Miracle That Made History. So the incredible nature of the result here speaks for itself. After this 16-and-a-half-hour surgery that you and Melissa really shared together with this massive, exceptional team that you had, she is now able, with this prosthetic arm, to not only move the limb with her own thoughts, which is amazing enough by itself, she's also able to feel sensations with the limb as if it was her own hand. This is incredible and doesn't really need to be described anymore to be understood as incredible. But as far as the actual medical achievement that was made here, explain why this procedure was as groundbreaking as it was. The first time it's ever been performed in the United States, right?
Yeah, I think so. The main part to try to get someone to move a prosthetic hand just by thinking has been done probably 250 times in the country, in the world, actually. And it was started by this amazing surgeon in Chicago, Dr. Dumanian, and a physical medicine rehabilitation, Dr. Kaiken. The two of them came up with this great idea how to do it. Well, when I met them at a conference and they found out where I was from, they challenged me to say, hey, why don't you try to get someone to feel their prosthetic hand? I mean, that sounds crazy. Hey, I'm a doctor in a small town. Like, I'm not at a big university. So like you'll see in the book, for some reason, they're like, well, I don't know, we think you can do it. They don't even know who I am. But it was one of those things where they're like, call this person in Canada. And they had done this procedure in Canada, these two surgeons at a university. Well, I ended up kind of talking to them and said, okay, I talked to my patient and said, okay, let's see if we could do it. Because our main thing was for wounded warriors. If we can give back to our wounded warriors a near normal arm as possible, that's huge to me. Because when somebody comes home from the military and they have unfortunately lost an arm, you come back as a hero, as you should. But fast forward 5 years, you know, you have PTSD, you don't have an arm, people aren't hiring you, and then everybody looks at you on the side of the street if you're trying to get money, and people are like, oh, look at that guy, you know, look at the bum on the side. Well, that bum used to be a hero 5 years ago, but you forgot about him. Mm-hmm. And so what I said is, if I can help one wounded warrior get an arm that they can move and feel and get them to the workforce, if I could save that one person from going down the bad road, I feel like I've accomplished my goal. And that's, you know, one of the big reasons we did the surgery, is because of that. And so basically, like you were saying, I took what I learned from the people in Canada, what I learned from Chicago, combined them together, and basically took that, you know, and did the surgery. And it worked out well.
It worked out well. There's the undersell of the millennium. Yeah. It worked out well.
She's, you know, I will give her credit completely because it's her mindset, and it's what I stress to people. You know, your mental state in regards to your healing is unbelievable, and I really think that that plays a big part of medicine that we don't give credit to. And in her case, I mean, she's been so advanced that, you know, there's only one arm in the world that can move and feel, and it's at Johns Hopkins. And the first time we went there and she tried it, we put a styrofoam coffee cup behind her back, and she was able to feel it and hold it because she can now feel that hand, that prosthetic hand. Wow. And so her brain now moves both arms at the same rate, and it's so advanced that she can feel hot and cold and light touch, and, you know, everything that you can do, she can do now because her brain has thought that she's regrown an arm. There's no arm there, but it's completely as though she regrew an arm.
And my word.
It just gives credit to, you know, what the mind can do. And the biggest thing on our surgery, because people send me articles a lot that says, hey, you know, we saw this guy can feel this. We did not implant anything in the body. I just moved a bunch of nerves. And it's almost like God's way of saying, you don't have to use technology to advance the human body.
Mm.
You've got a pretty special body that I gave you. See what you can do with it. And that's why, you know, we didn't implant anything. There was no research funding, nothing. It was just some surgeon and said, hey, maybe I could do this, and went ahead and tried, and, you know, was fortunate to get results that are 150% better than I ever thought we would get.
Wow. Well, it is simply unbelievable, but it is all true. The book, once again, is called Rewired, An Unlikely Doctor, A Brave Amputee, and the Medical Miracle That Made History. Dr. A.J. Seth has been with us today on the road, and my word, just a privilege talking to you, sir. First of all, thank you so much for being here. Thanks for taking the time for us. I know that you have become a very well-trod speaker of interviews, but it's been such a pleasure to talk with you today. Thank you
I really appreciate that. And, you know, I always tell people with media to give, you know, I give you credit, because without wonderful people like you, my story stays into this town. I can't get the story out. I mean, we're, like I said, in North Canton, Ohio. We have 17,000 people here. You know, so I really appreciate you helping me get the word out. And, you know, I really hope people, after hearing this, will pick up the book, because, you know, everybody has said, honestly, that they read it in a day or 2 days. It's like they couldn't put it down, they said, because it's a story. Mm-hmm. But I want people to pick it up, and when they're done, I always say there's a couple things. One, I want you to start believing in yourself. Two, I always say make the impossible possible. You know, the minute you think something is no longer impossible, it becomes possible. I mean, I accomplished something that I never thought I'd be able to do, but I started to believe in myself. And, you know, so if you're wanting to read kind of a feel good story and see how actually God did a miracle, you know, I think this is the book for you, you know.
And is it wherever fine books are sold, sir? Would you recommend people start the journey anywhere in particular?
You know what? It's actually, which has been overwhelming, it's in every bookstore in America. And it's online. So it's pretty accessible.
Yeah.
You know, I've been blessed that you know, a wonderful publishing company with HarperCollins and Thomas Nelson and the W Publishing Company. I've been really blessed with great people. And like I said, you know, they've been down the road with Heaven Is For Real. And it's almost like, to me, this is kind of the follow up to say, hey, you know, God does miracles no matter who you are, where you're at. You never know.
Well, sir, it really was an honor to meet you verbally. Thanks one more time. The book, One More Time, Rewired, An Unlikely Doctor, A Brave Amputee, and the Medical Miracle That Made History. Dr. AJ, thanks so much once again, sir.
Hey, thank you for all you do, and I really appreciate you having me on your show.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.